Welcome to 721 Live. Thanks for listening to the show today. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm so glad you joined us. It's Friday. The weekend's upon us. Can I get you to slow down for just a minute? If you're driving or you're listening via the online, would you just slow up a little bit and maybe spend some minutes with us listening for God's Word, listening for our Heavenly Father to speak to us? He wants to, and He always will, and there's always a place in our heart that needs to hear from Him. So would you please slow up and enjoy the show today? We're going to talk about temptation and how we slide from temptation to sin. It's a monumentally important topic, to be sure. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, I want to thank one of our sponsors for today's show, IT Pros. You know, every business faces the challenges of modern technology, and we all need to get the most out of our computer systems and our inner office networking. And these guys, I tell you, the guys at IT Pros, Gayton Heeman and his folks, they're just true pros. They know how to fix everything. I've never seen anything they didn't know how to get right away and fix it like you needed it. And they'll take all the time you need. They will not leave you hanging, but they'll get it right. And they have years of experience. True pros and supporters of 721 Ministries. Please call Gayton Heeman at IT Pros at 864-706-4568. That's 864-706-4568. 4568. And our other sponsor, Bull Hogs Barbecue in Pauline, just outside of Spartanburg. Great food. Great food. More on these friends later. I want you to feel free to call us at 888-660-WLFJ. That's 888-660-9535. We'd love to hear from you. 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. And you can check us out at our website, 721ministries.org. That's 721, the numbers, 721ministries.org. And our name comes from Jesus' words at Matthew 7:21 and 22 and 23, where he says, please don't line up in front of me with all your list of things that you've done and all your church activity and all your good community activity. That isn't what counts. What counts is that we know each other, that you know me, that I am your Savior. Please make sure you know him in a personal way. Okay, today, temptation. What an important and life application topic. Oscar Wilde echoed my sentiments exactly. He said, I can resist everything except temptation. Isn't that great? I can resist everything except temptation. Me too, Oscar. Me too. And how about you? How well are you doing with the temptation in your life? You know, as Christians, we're born into a world that's full of fear, but we come into a relationship with Christ and that joy and that peace and contentment, and we live with that. And then the next thing you know, we've got guilt and self-loathing, and we feel bad about ourselves. And why is that? Because we've done something stupid. We've done something we know is sinful. We know we've done something we know displeases our Heavenly Father, and we know it's harmful to us or somebody around us. And how does that happen? You know, joy, Dallas Willard says, joy is a pervasive sense of well-being. Now think about that. It's a pervasive sense of well-being. Joy is not giddiness, and it's not being happy all the time. Being happy is based on your circumstances. But it's just that sense that, you know, God loves me perfectly. I'm saved. I'm in a relationship. How bad can life be? Now, fear is a pervasive absence of that sense of well-being. And sin, and Paul tells us in Romans, sin is everything that does not come from faith. Everything that does not come from trust is sin. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Temptation is the bridge that spans the gaps from joy to fear to sin. Temptation is that bridge that takes us from joy to fear to sin. Now, how do we slide from joy and contentment to tempted and sinning? What happens? What begins that process? Because if you can figure that out, if you can identify the warning signs, you might be better able to blow up that temptation bridge before we get across it or before the enemy gets across it. You see, the slide, it begins with doubt. Our trust wavers. And what exactly is it that we are doubting? Well, you think about that for a minute. You're doubting God's perfect love is what you're doubting. Now, you may be doubting God's control or God's sovereignty, and I've been there. But in all situations, it really boils down to we're doubting God's perfect love. So, in our doubt, temptation rears its ugly head, and we slide towards fear. And as we find ourselves sliding into that fear zone, we start to press, and perhaps we start to hurry. And what is it? What are we doing? We're pressing and hurrying for one thing, and it's to make sure our will is done. That's what it boils down to. All temptations represent shortcuts. They're shortcuts to what we want, shortcuts to getting our way, shortcuts to getting our will be done, not God's. Now, why? Why? Because we don't trust God's will. We don't trust God's plan. We don't trust God's goodness. Now, if you want to be blunt about it, and we might as well just say what it is, if you want to be blunt, we fear God's will. Now, you think about that. You say, your will be done. You say it in the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. But I can promise you there are times where I think to myself, if I'm honest, I really don't want God's will. At least I'm afraid of it because I don't know what it is. And it might not be as rewarding, or it might not be as fun, or it might be hard, or it just won't be what I want. Now, isn't that foolish thinking? But that's how we think. And there we go, sliding, doubting. You know, Eve in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, he was standing right next to Eve, saw the fruit, and it was pleasing to the eye. I bet it was. And I can imagine her thought process. I need it. I deserve it. I've got to have it now. There are a lot of nows in the slide from joy to temptation to sin. A lot of hurrying. A lot of nows in those shortcuts. That's why we call them shortcuts. That's why we call temptation shortcuts. We see, we like, we want, and so we step outside God's plan and we circumvent His timing. And we go get it. So think about that. Think about those shortcuts. What tempts you? Where is your bridge defense the weakest? I mean, you may or may not be struggling with some of the big neon light sins. I mean, I doubt if you're listening today that you're struggling with the idea of going over and knocking over a bank or murdering someone, but you might be struggling with adultery. You might be struggling with sexual immorality. You might be struggling with the desire to have more money and so taking a shortcut to secure more money or taking a shortcut to get that affection and that romance that we think we've been denied by him, our husband, or her, our wife, or we might even feel like we've been denied that by God. And so we take a shortcut. We go after what we think we've got to have. It's an interesting idea, this idea of shortcuts. And we're going to talk about more about it in a minute, but we have a call in. We have a caller. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam. And let me say I really enjoy your show, and it's just been a joy to my life. But you're talking about temptation, and you're talking about them as shortcuts, and I was thinking about that and wondering, a shortcut to what exactly? Mm-hmm. And that's my question. But before I turn you loose on that one, let me also say that I've been a Christian for about 3.5 years now, so I'm a little new to it, but I was hoping that my temptations would be greatly diminished by now.
Uh-huh.
And they are to a degree, and I thank God for that, but I get disappointed in myself that I continue to struggle with my particular temptations. And can you help me with that?
Well, Steve, I'll tell you, you're all alone in that. You're the only, you're the only Christian out there struggling with that. No, really, those are good questions. And I'll start with the first question, and I'll come back with that second question about why do we continue to struggle, and we'll get to that in a minute. You know, when we talk about temptations being shortcuts, and what is that a shortcut to? Well, depending on the temptation, it's a shortcut to get to what we think will satisfy us. It's a shortcut to get what we think will bring, I'll use the term happiness, because it's not joy that we're actually going for. But let's just take, for instance, someone who struggles with the temptations of alcohol or drugs or even prescription drugs, which have become so prominent recently. See, that shortcut that they're looking for is a shortcut to peace or feeling good, or forgetting their problems, or easing the stress in their life. And it's a shortcut because they think, I can't wait on the Lord to give that to me. I can't count on Him. Let's say you're struggling with porn, and there are plenty of people out there struggling with porn, or you're just struggling with lust, or you're struggling with flirting, and you're married, and you shouldn't be. What you're trying to take a shortcut to is that sense of affection and companionship and romance that as we were speaking of just a second ago, that you think you've been denied. And you think, I can get it through a shortcut if I will flirt with her, or if I'll flirt with him, or if I'll lust after that, or if I'll pick up that magazine or that DVD or go online. And it's a shortcut to what we think is satisfaction. You know, a lot of us feel like, gosh, I need more money. I sure want more money. So we're tempted to cheat the IRS or to pad our expense accounts or to maybe go through some questionable business practices. I had a friend who's in commercial real estate, and he had a big commission coming his way, and the contract was being signed, and he was thinking about moving to another company, and he thought, you know, if I wait and bring this with me to the other company, I'll get a higher commission because I'll get a better split on it. And that was a temptation. But God, working in his heart, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you know, do the right thing. You got the contract with that company. Stay there and do the right thing. He was tempted with a shortcut to get more money. And that's what it always is. And what happens with those shortcuts, we think they're going to bring us satisfaction, but they never do. And what they do is, at best, they bring us a C minus or a D. But what happens is we get a temporary shot of satisfaction. When we wait for God's timing, it's always an A+. It's always the best. And when we're willing to wait and forego those shortcuts, God delivers immeasurably, abundantly more than anything we could ever ask or imagine. That's in Ephesians 3, and I love that because it is. It's more than we could even ask for or even imagine to ask for if we're willing to wait. But we're not. We go after those shortcuts. Now, I'll answer that second question because that is such a prominent. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, in writing in Romans chapter 7, we're all familiar with that. You know, why do I do the things I don't want to do? And why don't I do the things I want to do? What's going on? And keep in mind, Paul, this was one of the last letters he wrote, so he'd been a Christian. He'd been an apostle for a long time. If he's struggling with it, you better believe that after 3 or 4 years, I've been walking with the Lord 13 years, well, you're going to still be struggling with it. And I'll answer it with what I think is a neat analogy. I was watching a show on TV, that was a science show or whatever, and it said the Mississippi River hits the Gulf of Mexico with such force that fresh water goes out into the Gulf of Mexico sometimes 100 miles. The fishermen have been fishing in fresh water 100 miles off the shore. That's the force that the Mississippi River hits with. And that's what I kind of think my old life, my sinful life, the old Sam, is, let's just say, the Mississippi River. In my new life, I'm out in the ocean with the Lord, but that old life is hitting with such force because I live so long away from the Lord that it just flows right into my 13 years of walking with the Lord. And it just keeps coming in because I gave it so much force for the first 38 years of my life. And that's what I think we struggle with. And I think that's what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 7. He said, it's my old self, it's sin inside of me that's causing me to do this. And that's no excuse, but it is the facts. And when we struggle with it, and we struggle with that temptation, we have to recognize we are new creations in Christ, and He has saved us. And we are holy and blameless in God's sight. We are made perfect forever. You just check out Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one sacrifice, Jesus made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And that's the process of that sanctification. And Steve, I appreciate you calling in with that question. It's a great question. And what you want to realize when you get discouraged like that is exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to discourage you. Keep in mind, we talk about this often. Satan has three tactics: destroy, distract, and discourage. He can't destroy you once you become a Christian. He tried to destroy Adam and Eve and catch them, and he did. He brought death into their lives. But he can't do that when you're walking with Christ. So he'll spend the rest of your life trying to distract you and discourage you. And whenever he can, he'll throw that temptation at you. You'll bite into that fruit because it looks so shiny, and you don't realize he's got a hook in there. And as soon as you bite into it, he switches on you, and he starts accusing you. That's what devil actually means, accuser. And so he starts coming after you with those accusations, and he gets you down, and he makes you feel bad. Temptation, it is after all of us. We'll be back after a short break, and we'll talk more about it. Welcome back. It's part two of 721 Live. I want to thank you for joining us, and I want you to feel free to call in at 888-660-9535. That's 888-660-WLFJ. Give us a call anytime, and I want to remind you that we have an article that we put out every week. It's on our website. It's called The Putting Green. And it's a recap of what we've been talking about that week and on today's show. And so you can go to our website, www.721ministries.org. 721, the numbers, 721ministries.org. You'll see The Putting Green on there. It's easy to link onto. And then you could send us an email, and we'll put you on the list because it goes out every Friday. So check out that. Check out the Putting Green. I want to thank our other sponsor, Bull Hogs Barbecue in Pauline, South Carolina. Owner Harold Jennings is a good friend of mine and a supporter of 721 Ministries. And Harold and his crew, they strive to make their restaurant a ministry in itself. They start each day off with prayer. And that has a big impact on the people that work there. And it has a big impact on the people that come in because you sense it when you come in. The food is delicious. Pulled pork, I love it, and they've got plenty of other types, barbecue chicken, their sauce and their bread, and their peach cobbler is world famous, and he's got a recipe for the peach cobbler that's unbelievable. So try out Bull Hogs. They can handle any catering needs you might have. Contact Harold or his manager, Kathy Farr, at the restaurant, 864-585-7222. That's 585-7222, or go to their website. It's Bull Hogs. Now, that's BullHogsBBQ.com. BullHogsBBQ.com. Good food. We're talking about temptation. And one of the things that happens when we're tempted is we think, you know, I'm the only one going through this. You know, if somebody else were in my situation, they'd succumb too, because I'm all alone in this. This is unique to me. And God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, every temptation you're going through is common to man. No temptation that has seized you is different, is unique. It is all common man. You're not experiencing anything that hasn't been experienced before or isn't being experienced by lots of other people out there. So throw that out the window when you start thinking that way. That's Satan just prodding you in. Shortcuts. That's what temptations are. They're shortcuts to get our way, to forego God's best. Now, we don't think of it that way, but it really boils down to we fear God's will for our life. And I'd like to say I don't, but there are times when I do. I can sit in church and say the Lord's Prayer all day long, and the truth is, until we come to understand that what we're really fearing is God's will, we probably won't make a lot of progress in this temptation. The first human temptation, as we know, was Adam and Eve, and of course, they made two huge mistakes in the garden. Two huge mistakes. Now, I say it's the first human temptation. The first temptation that was fallen to was Satan, because he had pride. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be the number one. And that, of course, is part of everything that's happening with us. But they made two big mistakes in the garden, and we do the same thing. The first was that they engaged in a conversation with Satan. Huge mistake. Now, that's one that we often make. Of course, we don't think of it that way. That's not how we think of it. Of course, we're not having a conversation with Satan. But I can tell you, here's how it goes, and it's usually one-sided, and here's what's going on, and here's what he's saying to you by your own thoughts. You like that, don't you? Then he says, you know, you really need that, and we keep sliding. You deserve that. I mean, how many commercials do you see that say, you deserve this? You know, take my credit card and buy whatever you need because you deserve it. And then lastly, you need to get that. Go get it now. That's the conversation that goes on, and it's one-sided, but it's real, and it's what's happening. They should have shut the door on that conversation. The second mistake was for Eve to lock her gaze on the object of her desire. We see it. It's pleasant. That's a temptation. That's not a sin. But it's when we keep looking, and as we keep looking, we keep gazing, we start moving towards it. And the conversations and the rationalizations, that is what happens. We need to close the door on those objects of desire that we know are not beneficial, that we know are not pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Arnold Glasgow had a great, great way of saying it. He said, temptation usually enters through a door that has been intentionally left open. Now, that really hit me between the eyes when I read that. Temptation usually enters through a door that has been intentionally left open. And that's what I do. I say, you know, I'm going to fight this, but behind me, I'm kind of cracking the door open just a little bit because, you know, I'll be strong, but I don't want it to go away because it's so tempting. And then I get into that hurry and now, and you know, that's what's going on, but just close that door. Turn and walk away from it. One of my good friends, Depp Bauer, says partial obedience is planned disobedience. Partial obedience is planned disobedience. When I say, you know, I'm going to do my best and I'll give it a good shot, but in the back of my mind, I'm going, ain't no way I'm going to be able to handle this. I'm planning to disobey. And that never gets me what I want and never gets me God's A-plus perfect plan for my life. You know, we talk about fear all the time, and you wonder, now, fear playing into temptation? Well, you'll hear the voice, if I don't, it won't. If I don't take some action, it won't happen like I want it to. If I don't take this shortcut, I won't get my will. So there we go. We hurry, and we go after it now. How would joy preempt temptation? you know, we talk about as a Christian, really God wants for us, Jesus said, I've come to give you the abundant life. I'm talking about life to the full. So how would joy preempt temptation? Well, God says it best through Paul in one of his prayers in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And listen to this. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. If you have that joy, that grace, that peace in your heart, you're content, you don't need it. You would just say, I'm full. No gritting of your teeth. You know, very little self-discipline required. Just a changed heart. A heart that has been changed and is now full. How do you know what God has to say about this process from temptation to sin? Where do we find that? Well, you just go start reading your scripture and you'll see it in James. James got it. He's got it just saying it's God telling him what to say. When tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, and here it comes, and think about this, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And I have walked down that path myself. My own evil desire drags me away, enticing me. And after that desire is conceived, it gives full birth to sin, and sin to death. By his own evil desire. That's why Paul is praying that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That we no longer have to fight against it because I'm full. No thanks. I'm full. You see, temptation is not a sin, but it's when that we leave that door open and we keep looking and we keep entertaining that idea that gets at us. Now, if temptation is not a sin, and we know it isn't because Jesus was tempted in every way but did not sin, what constitutes a sin? How do we go? When have we gone from temptation into full-blown sin? Well, God it just gives it to us so well in Romans chapter 14. I would encourage you to go back and read the entire chapter of Romans 14. It speaks so well on this. It starts off about disputable matters, and the very last passage says, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Everything that does not come from trust is sin. So when you're tempted, and you're tempted to doubt and to stop trusting God, no matter what happens after that, you're sinning because you're acting out of a distrust of God. Think about that. Everything you're doing, it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's illegal or something that's clearly black and white wrong. But if God has spoken to your heart and you don't trust him and you keep going, you're sinning. And sinning will never bring you the full life, the abundant life, the peaceful life, the joyful life that God has promised and can deliver and wants you to have. Now, James said it again. He said in chapter 4, he said, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it is sinning. So you see, when God speaks to your heart and says, I want you to do this, and you don't do it, now you're disappointing him and you're sinning. So see, something can be a sin for me and not for you. And something can be a sin for you and not for me. It's just what I just said. If I know I ought to do it and God's convicted my heart and I don't, you may not have that same conviction. I do. I don't act on it. I've sinned. God may have spoken to your heart and said, you know, you need to stop this. And it might not be something that's out and out wrong. Maybe you play too much golf. Maybe you spend too much time at the office. And God has convicted you of it, but you stay with it. You can read about that in Romans chapter 14. God is telling us through Paul. Paul says, as one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food in itself is unclean. You know, the Jews had to struggle with that. The new Christians is the Jewish laws about unclean food. He said, but if anyone regards something as unclean, for him it is unclean. So if I've been convicted that I should not go to an R-rated movie, for instance, I continue to do it, then I've sinned against God. If I'm convicted that I'm not spending enough time with my family and I continue to do the things that truly are just selfish, then I am sinning. Now, what do we do when we sin? You'll hear a voice that says, you better stay away from God. Don't go to church or maybe stay out of that Bible study because you're such a fake. You're such a phony. You better let God cool off. I want to tell you, do not hear that voice. We are told by God in Hebrews chapter 4 to approach his throne of grace with confidence. Go right to him and say, I'm here. I know I'm disappointed in myself and I know I disappointed you, and confess it. And remember, confession is not a just saying it. It's saying, I agree with you. That's the Greek word, I agree with you. Folks, temptation is out there. It's lurking. Satan wants to knock you down. He wants to distract and discourage you. The solution is a changed heart. It's asking the Lord to change your heart from the inside out so that you're full. Yes, there's a certain amount of self-discipline required and involved in it, but it really is more, change my heart. That's the long-term solution. And my favorite passage, more and more, my favorite passage is, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, not in those temptations, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Each week, we publish on our website a recap of this week's topics. We call it The Putting Green. Check us out, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. So long. God's peace to you. Hope to see you next Friday.